Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, as you noted in the campaign spot, last week could easily be labeled retirement week. We saw it from everyone from Jane Harmon to John Kyle to Jim Webb and eventually Hosni Mubarak, although not necessarily voluntarily on his part. But in terms of John Kyle, we mentioned on that very day that one guy we'd like to see step up who was already rumored to be entering the race, and that's Congressman Jeff Flake. He's been in Washington for 10 years, strong fiscal conservative, all the way to the point that he's actually opposed to the first version of the current fiscal year spending cuts that the Republican leadership has thrown out there. If we have to watch John Kyle leave, which we really don't want to, watching a guy like Jeff Flake get into the race and hopefully not watch too many other conservatives get in at this point to siphon up the vote and, you know, cause a bitter debate is a good thing. I'd like to see Jeff Flake in the Senate a lot.
It is. Now, it's worth noting that he is only the first of probably many Arizona Republicans who will be either exploring a bid or thinking about it. I'd say in the last 72 hours, when forced to list how many Republicans are interested, pretty much all of them in the state of Arizona. Jeff Flake stands out, though, not just because he's starting there first, but as a longstanding conservative. And I would note, this was a guy who was fighting about earmarks and pork barrel spending long before it was cool, so to speak. Definitely an ally of John McCain for doing these sorts of fights in the House. I went and I checked. He has a lifetime ACU rating of 96.4, with 100 being maximum, voting the conservative position all the time. Zero being, you know, Nancy Pelosi-esque liberalism. It's a bit of bad news there, Greg, because Kyle's lifetime record was 96.7. We're backsliding, unfortunately, with Jeff Flake. But perhaps we can overlook that 0.3% over the course of his career and note that if elected, he'd be another very solid conservative in the U.S. Senate, one that they definitely need plenty of, but a long way to go before we figure out how this Senate race shakes out.
And perhaps even more encouraging is that the Democrats look to be in disarray. We mentioned the possible recruitment of Gabby Giffords if she can recover in the next several months. Other names being floated out there, Janet Napolitano. I don't see her as striking the fancy of Arizona voters again. She won two terms out there, but she never won all that convincingly. And after that, it gets pretty thin out there for the Dems, I think.
Yeah, it's funny because you would have figured at some point with obvious – look, Gabrielle Giffords, a very obvious health issue before she can contemplate future plans like this. Napolitano, not only does she have a day job, not only is she coming under a great deal of fire for the way she's handling that current day job. Some of us might say that if she decides not to run, that means the system worked. to use her infamous words against her. I figured some other member of Congress or some other, you know, state official or member of the state legislature on the Democratic side would have emerged as the consensus other figure by now, and that has not happened. Now, perhaps this is my impatience of 3 days after the announcement that there's an open seat, but you would have figured John McCain's been there for a really long time and is pretty tough to defeat. Kyle ran pretty strong in all of his bids. You would have figured if there was any ambitious Arizona Democrat, they would have thrown their hat in the ring by now. But they may have a bit of a thin bench there. So we'll have to see how this shakes out. Clearly, the Department of Justice suit is not helping the Democratic brand out in the state of Arizona. So we will have to see if any Democrats emerge. But so far, looking like a bit of a tough hunt for them.
Yeah, let's hope so, because part of the calculation for Republicans taking back the Senate is to hold on to the ones that they have to defend. And Arizona certainly would be one of those. Moving on to number two now. And we knew that the budget would be coming out from President Obama, at least his preferred budget. Here's the president just a little while ago in Baltimore explaining how he's getting tough on spending.
As a start, I've called for a freeze on annual domestic spending over the next 5 years. This freeze would cut the deficit by more than $400 billion over the next decade, bringing this kind of spending, domestic discretionary spending, to its lowest share of our economy since Dwight Eisenhower was president.
Now that sounds good. That sounds good until you realize that's about an eighth of the total budget that we're talking about there. And here's Paul Ryan, our good friend on the Fox News Sunday program, before the budget was released, explaining why the argument he expected from the president that we got today is not exactly a strong one.
This discretionary freeze is off of an extremely high base. They just blew spending out the gates in the last 2 years. A 24% increase in domestic discretionary spending. When you throw stimulus on top, it was an 84% increase. And he wants to freeze for a few years off of those high levels. It's less than 1% of spending over the next 10 years.
Oh, and by the way, the deficit for the next fiscal year, over $1.6 trillion. So at least we're setting new records there, Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when $1.5 trillion was a scary number. And now that looks like an easy, manageable number by comparison. You know, it's worth noting, actually, I've been looking over at the books here at Three Martini Lunch Fiscal Operations. We have a hillion, jillion, bazillion dollar deficit. So I've decided that we're not going to spend any more money than we're currently spending. No big grand expenditures on top of that, Greg. And I think that should work well, don't you think? That'll get everything under control if you have a massive, you know, we certainly don't have to go as far and make an extreme move of spending less, right?
Unbelievable that he's doing that. And how perfectly timed are the votes that the House is going to do this week to reduce $100 billion just from the last few months of the current fiscal year. And, oh yeah, defund Obamacare. Just slightly different strategies and philosophies heading into the new budget fight.
Greg, it's not surprising that a president who's known for voting present on really difficult decisions is now presenting his own budget. You know, that's effectively what he's doing here. He has a budget. It doesn't really address the massive fiscal sinkhole that we find ourselves in. But it's there. It exists. It is a list of numbers on a page. So he's done his job. He can check his box and go look to play golf for the rest of the afternoon.
Exactly. Well, he's clearly trying to appeal to the middle there. We'll see how many actually buy it. But in another way that the Democratic Party is trying to appeal to the middle, onto our third and crazy martini now, the DNC doing some good work over the weekend, you know, working, burning the midnight oil, trying to make the CPAC speakers and crowd look as crazy as possible, and basically putting together this new web ad saying that Republicans want to take us back to the past, the evil, dark past. And Democrats, of course, have a plan to move us forward, a plan that apparently nobody knew about because it was so secret over the last 2 years. But here's the Democrats trying to make the likes of Rand Paul and Newt Gingrich and some others just look absolutely off their rocker.
We believe in abolishing the Department of Education.
The most oppressive organization of all, the Department of Education.
I want to replace, not reform, EPA.
We should repeal Obamacare.
The crown jewel of socialism.
Is there anybody here who would like to opt out of Social Security?
I love the dark piano undertones there, Jim. And oh my goodness, can you imagine keeping more of your own money and going back to a point as far back as the 1970s when we didn't have a Department of Education? Imagine that.
You know, Greg, it's kind of striking that they left the Obamacare line in there because that's polling particularly badly. And if you look at, you know, a lot of polls on Social Security, there are a lot of people who know instinctively that Social Security is in really rough shape. So the idea of opting out, I'm not sure that's the scare line that they think it is going to be. Now, obviously, look, we all love education. Kumbaya. Hooray for teachers. So obviously, any proposal to end the Department of Education is going to be seen as Republicans coming, you know, going down to your local kid's school and tossing out the teachers on their keister. The entire kind of slogan for this ad campaign for the Democrats, which they must have spent, you know, milliseconds and milliseconds working on, is to argue that this is the past versus the future. Now, I'm sure every listener out there is already groaning, having heard this a million times before. And it's not that long ago. This was explicitly the Democrats' message, as in October 2010. This was the note that Obama was striking on his campaign appearances. So I think it's safe to say in the 2010 midterms, it didn't work the way that they liked. If this is the future, take us back. turn it around. This is the guy who keeps going on and on about how the car is in a ditch and we need to get it back out. Well, you got to back out by putting it in reverse. So, you know, Obama's whole metaphor there didn't work. It's surprisingly tired. It's surprisingly unoriginal. You look at the reaction to, let's say, the fact that there's been a House Republican revolt over not cutting $100 billion from a seven-month fiscal year indicates that we are in a very, very different political environment than what we've been used to for, say, the past 30, 40 years. But to the DNC and arguably with the president in this budget, they haven't recognized it. They still think the voters love you more if you spend more. And I think that's about to be tested. And I'm hoping that the American people have the wherewithal to recognize that all of this money has to come from somewhere. There is no Scrooge McDuck money bin that we can take it out of. And so my suspicion is that this will probably backfire, but it's going to require Republicans to make a very solid message to say, we are out of money. We need a bit of that Chris Christie bluntness of saying we are broke and it's time for us to start spending not just less, but a whole lot less.
I think you're exactly right there. And I think there's probably even some frustration on the president's part when he sees something like this, because he's clearly trying to tack to the center. And the next thing the DNC is pointing out is, well, why would we want to change the strategy that we followed for the last 2 years, and implicitly saying the same strategy that got us booted out of the majority in the House and lost half our majority in the Senate. So the president's probably not too excited about seeing the defense of the last 2 years out there as well. He's trying to make people have the shortest possible memory on record when they get to the polls in 2012.
I think the guy in Memento would have enough memory to recognize the problems. Even if you resets every 15 minutes, you can still look at those budget numbers and say, hey, those are really big. You know, I'm still kind of baffled by the fact I've been used to using the $1.5 trillion annual budget deficit as my scary talking point. Greg, I got upgraded to 1.6.
That's right.
It went up $100 billion when I wasn't even looking.
Exactly. And he claims he's going to cut $1.1 trillion off the deficit in the next 10 years, apparently just by freezing it. So, well, I guess we'll see. Not exactly optimistic about that. But, Jim, we'll talk about it again, at least something else, here on Tuesday. Have a great day.
Yay, Greg. Cheery.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us again Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.